heart, and home.
The views expressed on this program are those of the host and guests and are not necessarily those of the Information Radio Network, its affiliates, stations, or advertisers.
This is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that's going to determine what the future will bring. And I need to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views, the views of our guests, and, well, for the first hour this evening, you out there in the audience are the guest, and we're going to be doing Open Line Wednesday, in which event you can call in. You can talk on the subject I'm talking about. You can bring up an entirely different subject if you'd like to. And I always enjoy this because we never know what we're going to come up against. But this evening I thought I would talk about the winds of war which are blowing across the Near East and across the Middle East. And the average American really isn't too concerned about that. After all, I mean, we certainly have our... The football season is going to be coming up here before very long. We have our golf contests. We have our Wimbledon tennis contests. But the average American doesn't seem to realize that we are on the edge, on the very brink of what I fear may well be World War III. And this war will have profound impact upon everyone in the listening audience. Well, my telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295 if you'd like to give us a call. There have been a lot of interesting things happening over in the Near East. Certainly we find that there was a battle between the Fatah, which is supposedly the more liberal terrorist organization, Palestinian terrorist organization, fighting the extremist, the Hamas extremist terrorist organization over the last 2 weeks in the Gaza area. And then, of course, what happened was that the Fatah fought a losing battle. They retreated to the seashore, anticipating that they'd be reinforced there. Instead of that, their leaders abandoned them, and they were pretty well wiped out, those that remain behind, and either killed or captured by the Hamas. But at that point, it meant that much of the Hamas military force had been pulled out of the West Bank, and at that time Abbas, who was, of course, the leader of the more moderate wing, the Fatah wing of the Palestinians, was immediately given over $500 million by Israel, and a large amount of military equipment, with the idea that now, even though they had been defeated in the democratic elections and the people had chosen Hamas, and after all, everybody knows we support democracy, but of course whoever has the most guns in a democracy always wins. And now, of course, Israel is arming the Fatah wing of the terrorist movement, has given them $500 million. And remember, of course, we fund Israel. Israel funds the terrorist enemies. And it's the way this game is always played. Either Israel funds the terrorist or we fund the terrorist. And then Olmert, as a sign of goodwill, is going to release about 250 of the hardline terrorists that they're holding, so they can go back and join the Palestinian and wage a terrorist war again. They don't have that many terrorists, so they have to keep recycling the old ones. Sort of reminiscent here about a few years ago where Israel released, I think it was 400 hardline terrorists so they could get back one or two dead Israeli soldiers' bodies, a sign of goodwill. And there are constantly these signs of goodwill, but you're never going to have peace there because there's hatred between the Palestinians and the Jews. And I don't know what the solution is, but I will tell you, it is not to finance your enemies. It's not to capture your enemies and then release them so they can fight you again. It is not to give massive sums of money to the enemies that are intent upon your destruction. It just doesn't make sense. But very little of what's going on in the world today really does make sense. Well, our telephone number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. Certainly both Hamas, which is still active in Gaza, and the Hezbollah, which is north in Lebanon, have been rearmed with large numbers of rockets, although Hezbollah has not been firing rockets into Israel until this last week, when it started once again firing rockets into northern Israel. But certainly they have far more, a large number of missiles than they had before, much more sophisticated, and these missiles will be able to reach the very center of Israel with the next conflict there. And then, of course, Syria is preparing for war. Now, one of the things that really disturbs me about Syria is that it has not only much more sophisticated weapons, which Syria is getting from the Iranians, which the Iranians are getting from the Russians, which the Russians are building with American technology, and the massive amounts of American aid that we're giving to Russia and we have given to them through the years. And if you doubt that, I hope you'll read the March, April, and May Radio Liberty letters. At least the March and April Radio Liberty letters are posted on the internet, and the May Radio Liberty letter will be posted there very, very soon. And you must read how we have been financing and building up the people who are arming the people who will soon be killing American forces. It's a game that's been played over and over again, and the average American doesn't understand what's going on because they don't understand the rules of the game. But go to RadioLiberty.com. You can certainly pull down my February newsletter, my March newsletter. You'll see a section there that says letters, and then read them. And then, of course, the May newsletter will be the third in a four-letter series on the Capitalist-Communist Alliance, or the Communist-Capitalist Alliance. And you need to understand what's really going on. Under any circumstances, Syria has much more sophisticated weapons than it has had in the past. And what most people do not know is the fact that Saddam Hussein really did have very sophisticated chemical and biological weapons. And we'll be back in a moment. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and our guest is you out there in the listening audience. This is Open Line Wednesday. My telephone number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. That's 464-8295, or 1-888-24-LIBERTY. And I was pointing out that what most Americans do not recognize is the fact that Saddam Hussein really did have chemical and biological weapons. Where did he get them? Why the United States gave him the material to buy them and the wherewithal to build the chemical and biological weapons, and of course it gave him massive amounts of money so they could build the weapons. And those weapons, shortly before the American attack, were transferred to Syria. Many people believe they were transferred by the Russians. We don't know what they used to transfer them. We know there were truck convoys that went into Syria carrying those weapons. How can we be sure it happens? Well, I had the unique opportunity of interviewing Ador Gold, who is the Israeli ambassador to the United Nations, and in the course of one of our conversations on the radio, and I simply asked him, what about Saddam's weapons of mass destruction? Were they moved to Syria? And he confirmed they were. Of course, Joel Skousen has confirmed that, and other people I know associated with the CIA have confirmed that, and certainly Avi Lipkin has confirmed that. And all you need to do is go up on the internet and type in Saddam WMD Syria, and you'll find hundreds of references associated with the fact that the weapons of mass destruction actually were taken to Syria. So they're sitting over there, and I fear that they're going to be used against Israel in the coming conflict. And so then, of course, Iran is preparing for war. The United States is preparing for war. The other countries over there are frightened to death. The Saudi king is over there, been visiting Jordan and going over to visit the Egyptians, doing everything they can to try to avoid a war, because if they know if war comes to the Middle East, it could certainly affect their kingdoms, the stability of their nations. And, of course, what really bothers me is if we get into a war with the Muslim world, which is what's going to happen if we go to war with Syria and Iran, why it could lead to the fall of Pakistan, the radical Islamists then would take control of their nuclear weapons. If Saudi Arabia were to fall, they have nuclear weapons as well, and batteries of nuclear weapons, what they got from Pakistan, and we could be opening the world to a nuclear holocaust. Well, with that as the background, let's go to Bart from Carmel. Hi there, Bart. How are you doing? Haven't heard from you in a while.
Dan, I'm fine, thank you. How are you tonight, sir?
Doing great.
I'm not the least bit concerned about war in the Middle East, because I heard some very comforting news earlier tonight, which is that Prime Minister Tony Blair, now that he's left his post in England, has been appointed World Peace Envoy.
Doesn't that make it feel just sort of all warm and fuzzy?
Fuzzy and warm all over. And, you know, they'll be sharing lollipops soon, and holding hands, and throwing flowers back and forth to each other, and having bake sales. It'll be so wonderful, Dr. Stan.
In fact, you know, when I see he and George Bush together, they both grinned like Cheshire cats just after having devoured a mouse. I just have a wonder what they're thinking.
Oh, you really have to wonder. I don't even have a word for these. They're so satanic. These two characters are so satanic that it just makes my skin crawl that they're so well loved by the world. But here's my question, Dr. Stan. I had heard that during the last war with Israel, Hezbollah had obtained the radio hardware or the radio code that was in use by the Israeli troops, and that they were monitoring all their movements very accurately, and this is why they had such a great success, the Hezbollah, why they had such a great success against the Israeli army, and that furthermore that necessary hardware, decryption hardware, was they obtained it from within the IDF, the Israeli Defense Force. Did you ever hear anything about that?
No, but you haven't. I don't know anything about it one way or the other. But certainly, if you know the plans of your enemy, why, you've got a real advantage.
Absolutely. Well, Hezbollah took out over 100 tanks.
Right.
And they had some sort of advantage going on. So what the meaning of that to me seems to be that the good Israeli people and the Israeli military is being set up for a defeat in the same way that the American military is set up.
I will tell you, Bart, that from a purely military point of view, from a purely a human point of view, with Hezbollah and Hamas, Hamas to the south, Hezbollah to the north, are both armed with rockets, with Syria to the northeast, with Iran to east, there is no way humanly that Israel will be able to survive an attack from all those sources. In other words, a massive rocket attack of 10,000 rockets on Israel in one day would overwhelm many defenses they have, and within a few days, why, Israel would, as we know it, would be destroyed. But you know, I believe that God does have a plan for Israel. I don't know what it is. And in some ways, I look with horror what lies ahead. In other words, I look with anticipation, because I really believe that in one way or another, God is going to intervene, although I think he's going to bring terrible punishment against the Israelis, people, against the Jewish people living there. I believe there will be a remnant that will survive for his purposes and for his glory. And if you look at what's going on in the world today from purely a mechanistic or military strategic point of view, why, you'd be very, very discouraged. But everybody counts out God, and I don't think you can do that. If we do that, it's at our own peril.
I think he's going to be coming back with a strong reminder of the true nature of reality soon, even in this country, because as wicked and corrupt and degenerate as America has become, I think it would be wrong for people to assume that we're going to escape some sort of punishment. I fear for all of us. But Dr. Stan, thank you very much. That's all I had tonight.
All right, God bless. Thanks very much, Bart. And let's go, of course, to Terry is calling from Sun Valley. And, once again, our telephone number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295, and this is Open Line Wednesday. Hi, Terry. How are you doing?
Well, hi, Dr. Stan. I heard your program with Randy Engel.
Right.
And she was talking about some of the long-term aspects of industry. And in light of what you said and what she said, if there's some kind of business plan for what's happening with the Middle East, then what would it be? If there's some sort of plan for it, what can I say, business plan for all this, what is the idea of it?
Well, basically, of course, there's some people who say this is all about oil. That we want, of course, the oil that's over there, and I'm sure that there are certainly the oil companies that would love to be able to get their hands on the oil, but they really don't want to develop the oil over there, because, of course, if they were really to develop the oil that is available today in Iraq and in Iran, why, they'd flood the world with oil. I mean, there's more oil in the world that they know what to do with. So if they would want to have their hands on it, like putting the money in the bank, but they certainly wouldn't want to develop it, because if they did that, the more oil there is, why, the lower the price goes. If there's an abundance, the price goes down. If there's a shortage, the price goes up. So certainly this would be one aspect of what's going on, is the desire for oil and dominating oil, because that is a key to controlling the future. He who controls the oil and the access to oil and natural gas controls energy, and he controls energy, controls industry and the future. Now that is looking at it purely from the business point of view. And then there are other people who say, well, one reason we have to go after Iran is because they're threatening to stop using the American dollar as the reserve currency. And we want to keep the dollar as a reserve currency. We went to war with Saddam Hussein in part because he was beginning to use the euro and selling oil in euros. Iran is doing the same thing, and of course that's true. And that's another man-oriented explanation. But I believe, of course, you have to look at this from the spiritual point of view. And there is a spiritual plan, and that's covered in my February newsletter, and I hope you'll take the time to read it. It's posted at RadioLiberty.com, where I simply quote from the writings of Alice Bailey, information that was channeled to her by a demonic spirit named Joachim, sometime in the middle of the last century, talking about how what they really want is a massive war in the Middle East, where the Christians and the Jews and the Muslims all destroy one another in preparation for the arrival on the scene of the new world leader. So that is not the business plan. That is the real plan behind all of this. So as I said to Bart earlier, if you look at things from purely the mechanical point of view, political, ideological, why, Chris, you're looking at it, you can give an explanation, but what's the real explanation? And we always have to look at it from the spiritual point of view as well.
It's kind of like what Albert Pike was talking about, I guess.
Absolutely.
Thank you very much, Dr. Stan.
All right, fine. Well, again, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295, and we'd love to hear from you and get your thoughts about what's going on in the Near East and the Far East. What about what's going on here in America? What would a war in the Middle East? What would a major catastrophic event in America, such as a chemical or biological or nuclear attack, mean as far as your freedom and my freedom and the survival of Christianity here in the United States? We'll be back in just a moment. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our telephone number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295, and it's
gold and silver is tremendously undervalued. Global demand vastly exceeds mined supply by more than 60% annually. There is little in the financial world more certain than a coming explosion in the prices of gold and silver. The U.S. dollar continues to lose value and respect as the world's reserve currency. Our nation faces challenges on many fronts, and a day doesn't pass without another economist bringing forth warnings of impending economic calamity. There has never been a better time than right now to acquire physical gold and silver. Discount Gold and Silver Trading was founded on the principles of truth and honesty. We believe in providing a quality product, quality service, and most importantly, competitive pricing. We provide all forms of precious metals, including American gold, silver, platinum, and rare investment and circulated coins. Silver bars, rounds, and 90% silver bags are on hand for the silver investor. Gold self-directed IRAs are available. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, that's 1-800-375-4188.
Most Americans are iodine deficient today because they stopped adding iodine to our milk and to our flour, and only about half of the salt that's consumed in the United States today contains iodine. So Radio Liberty has produced a 4-tape or a 4-CD set that discusses the health benefits of iodine. We also offer Iodorol. It contains 12.5 milligrams of iodine per tablet. And we also offer potassium iodide tablets that'll protect your thyroid gland in case there's a nuclear attack. So if you'd like to order these products or obtain additional information, why don't you call 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. Or go to our website at RadioLiberty.com. That's RadioLiberty.com. Once again, our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927.
You got headaches? Most headaches are caused by a structural weakness of blood vessels in the head, and the blood vessels are tending to balloon, causing a headache. The structural weakness is due to a deficiency. Correct the deficiency and the body will heal itself. I blended what I believed to be the missing nutrients in the right proportions, and the headaches went away. When they were gone, they stayed gone. I named it Headache Stay Gone. See HeadacheStayGone.com or call 800-327-0727 for more information or to place an order. I'll send you a bottle of Headache Stay Gone. Headache Stay Gone will cure your headaches and prevent them from coming back before you pay the bill. Headache Stay Gone has already cured the worst migraines I have ever heard of. Call 800-327-0727. All orders are shipped the same day. Call 800-327-0727. That's 800-327-0727.
Hi, this is Dr. Tony Teary. Are you one of the many people who take vitamin supplements? Do you take handfuls of pills each day to increase energy, reduce your pain, or improve your overall health? Now there is a better way to get the vitamins and minerals your body needs in a delicious-tasting whole food liquid supplement, Body Balance. Body Balance contains 121 essential vitamins and minerals and is made from only organic and natural sources. Developed by doctors, Body Balance was originally available only through healthcare professionals. Now this incredible whole food liquid supplement can be delivered directly to your home. Body Balance offers an extremely effective method to feed your body towards wellness, and we're confident you'll love the difference your body feels. To order your Body Balance, call me directly at 1-800-768-9763 and try it risk-free for 45 days. Again, that's 1-800-768-9763 or online at healthyfoundations.net.
his time, as do I. And, of course, he says a fair amount of money because he's paying, I know what he pays on some of our local stations, and that is a great deal of money. But he has a message, and what he is saying is, he apparently, according to Mike, is very, very happy that the government is expanding its power. He's glad to give up his freedom because the government's going to protect us from the wicked terrorists. Is that basically the thought?
That's basically it, that this is a legitimate war, and that the government, of course, after the war is over and we don't have any troubles with national security anymore, that the government would restore at that point all the rights and freedoms that it had taken away. And now I consider Roy Masters a very interesting fellow. I think he's wrong on some things, but he has a lot of wise things to say, and I think he helps a lot of people, and they listen to him and respect him, and he's been on the air for some 40 years now. But I am amazed at the degree of foolishness he's expressing or displaying with this idea when in the same conversation he goes on and on about the despicable national leaders that we have and all sorts of really legitimate observations and accusations of problems that are going on in our government. So I think that he probably echoes a lot of other people. If they think about it at all, that with them it's going to be okay, especially since our wonderful president is a great and faithful Christian, of course he'll do the right thing for us and the country. It's just not the case, as you know, and most of your audience understands.
All right, fine. Well, I really didn't hear the program. Yeah. I really can't comment on it at all. But I would point out, of course, that I would very, very fearful that, of course, taking away our freedom in the name of protecting our freedom can lead to terrible disorders and problems. In fact, Judge Lambreth is a federal judge who was appointed under the Reagan administration. And in a recent article in one of the Washington newspapers, he said that it was proper for the executive branch agencies to conduct a surveillance, but history and the history of our country has found that you can't trust the executive branch of government. And he went on to say that we have to understand that you can fight the war on terrorism and lose everything if you have no civil liberties left when you get through fighting the war. And I think people have to understand that Sydney, we should never give up our freedom in the name of protecting ourselves from terrorism. And I would simply point out that if the administration really believes that there is war on terrorism, why have they consistently refused to seal our southern border? I mean, it would be very easy for a terrorist to come across there, or a small band of them, and to smuggle in explosives and go into our stores and go into our stadiums, sports stadiums, or wherever the large numbers of people, and set off terrorist bombings. And there have been no serious terrorist bombings in America since the September 11th. Now, people will say, well, look at all these terrorist bombings that the FBI has prevented. Every one of those terrorist bombings, they've had an agent provocateur from the government on there egging some poor Islamic people. And I'm sure there's some foolish Islamic people who are filled with hatred and frustration, and they can be talked into almost anything. But, of course, you would think that they would have certainly done these things on their own. They don't need the government agents coming there and helping them buy the explosives and all of these things. There have been no terrorist bombings since September 11th. And I would like to suggest that this whole idea of the threat of terrorism is being used as a justification to take away our freedom. And I would simply ask people three questions. If we have been told the truth about what happened on September 11th, why did the government seal the testimony of 1,100 people who testified before the 9/11 Commission for 50 years? And suppress the stories about the explosives in the basement of the building and so much else? Number two, How do they explain the magic passports that survived the attack, you know, in both the World Trade Center and Sydney there in Pennsylvania? And three, I simply asked people to watch Building 7 come down on video. That was a controlled demolition. How did Osama bin Laden do that? And fourth, why doesn't the FBI list him on their pages as being involved in 9/11? We'll be right back.
Never had a voice. You never got to walk. Never got to dance.
Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, and so anyway, my thought is that we would be making a terrible, terrible mistake to actually consider, you know, giving up our freedom, you know, simply in the name of trying to be protected against the terrorists. In wartime, why you can give up your, if you give up your freedom, you may never regain it again. So I do not know what Roy Masters said, but I would go on record as saying I'm very, very concerned about this effort to centralize all power in Washington, D.C., because, of course, it may be that freedom will never be restored. Anything else, Mike?
Well, I just think that one of the purposes of this war is to do just this, is to take away the freedom, destroy the Constitution of the United States. We see the executive branch doing this now, especially with that PUDD 51, where the executive branch will oversee the function of government. In other words, the judicial branch and the legislative branch will be run by the executive branch. And, you know, they did, Congress gave over a large power to the president by giving him permission to go ahead and have his way in Afghanistan and Iraq and bombing things into oblivion. The Vietnam War was done the same way. Congress gave the president permission at the time to go ahead and respond, you know, do that under a false flag operation, the Gulf of Tonkin incident, so-called, that never happened. So they used the tactic then. Probably there were times previous in history it was done, and it seems to work very well, so they just do it again every few decades as people's memories fade and people are not taught history.
Well, I actually, the manager of the local station did contact me, and we talked about perhaps a debate sometime with Roy Masters. We'll see if we can make an arrangement for that.
It'd be interesting.
All right, anything else, Mike, before we let you go?
Not for now, thanks.
All right, God bless. Thanks so much. And again, our telephone number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. And this is Open Line Wednesday. We've got Jim calling from Missouri. Hi, Jim. How are you doing?
Good. I'm glad to hear you sounding and feeling better, Dr. Stan.
I'll tell you what, I'm sure glad to hear myself sounding better, too. It was pretty pitiful last week, wasn't it?
I thought you were going to have to air some reruns for a couple of days.
Well, the Lord got me through it, but I'll tell you what, I was pretty raspy by the end of the program. Anyway, it's amazing, you know, that you can recover, and we're back in pretty good form.
Good. I called for a couple of quick things. I've heard a couple of messages from John MacArthur recently that have just been amazing. This first message was called When God Abandons a Nation.
Right.
I believe I sent you the transcript.
Yes, you did. In fact, I haven't. I've read that through, and I thought it was very well done.
But for anyone listening, if the text was Romans 1:18 through 32, and the part that just everything I see around me when it that third time it says God gave them over is to a depraved mind, and as he said in that message, another way you could, you know, the word depraved in a sense means defective, and it just seems like that's coming more and more true every day in our country, I'm sad to say. But the other one is a message where he was just talking about the covenants and promises and faithfulness of God, and it was unfortunately, that one's not online, so I can't refer you to it. But that first one is called When God Abandons a Nation. You can Google that, and you can either read the transcript or actually watch the video online. they even played that on Focus on the Family over a couple of days. And it's just really good.
Well, MacArthur, John MacArthur, is certainly a fine a minister and really does a great job.
The other thing is, have you heard anything about this that man in our country that had the real bad TB? Apparently in South Africa, that's just going all over now.
Well, Jim, I think you have to realize that this story was a plant story. Now, here's what we know. Number one, here's a lawyer, obviously not a stupid man. He is marrying this beautiful woman whose father is a specialist at the CDC in drug-resistant tuberculosis. Why would any father who loves his daughter allow her to marry somebody who has drug-resistant tuberculosis? And then, of course, supposedly, he's told that he's not infectious, and they fly off to Europe to get married or on a honeymoon or something, and then the CDC goes over there, and we don't know what was said to them. But then he flies back to the United States, and he flies into Canada, and he comes across the border. And even though the border guard knows there's an alert out for him, he looks at him, he says he looks healthy, and so he lets him into the country. And day after day after day after day after day, we're hearing about this fellow with the tuberculosis, and immediately they're having hearings in Washington, D.C. Now, did it appear to you to be a tall strains? On this one instance, we suddenly are having hearings in Washington, D.C. Do you think that they can just sort of whip those things up overnight?
It just makes me wonder what was going on that we weren't told about at the time.
Well, of course, what it was really all about is to get legislation through to control people with infectious disease or to control people and to have public health officials and the government have the ability to control the motion and the activities of people. And that's what it was really all about. It has nothing to do with this guy, because now it comes up, he really wasn't infectious at all. And as he said, look, they never told me I was infectious. I was a danger to anybody. I don't care what they say. They said this was not so. So either he's lying or the Judy Geberding at the CDC is lying, and having followed her career for many years, I would believe this fellow I never met before.
Well, I remember what Dr. Day said on your own show about she actually lied and said there is hope for people with that HIV isn't entirely
fatal. Well, I don't know what she said about HIV. You're referring to what she told Dr. Day was this cannot be communicated. Everything was in charge of infectious disease control at the San Francisco Hospital.
Right.
She told Dr. Day that you could not get this, by coming in contact with the blood, and that was the lie she told. And when Lorraine eventually went to her and said, you lied. Why did you lie? And she said, I didn't want people to panic.
I know. That's just...
This is the woman who today is in charge of the Centers for Disease Control. I don't think we can believe a word she says, but this whole thing is obviously staged for its impact on the American people, and it's staged for a purpose. And I think it's being, and right now, if you read the papers widely, you find they're talking about we just got to have more government control. And that's the common denominator behind everything. More government control. When you understand that, I think the whole story, the scenario, makes sense. Otherwise, none of it makes sense.
I agree.
Okay, anything else, Jim?
No, sir. Thank you very much.
All right, fine. Bye-bye. Well, thank you. So let's go to Bill, who's calling from Coeur d'Alene. And again, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. And, Chris, give us a call if you have something you'd like to talk about. Hi, Bill. How are you doing?
Bless you, sir. Sure glad you're feeling better.
Well, thank you.
Just wanted to mention, I'm hoping that you're going to receive a flood of responses of Patriot alien and unregistered foreign agents that are going to come to your aid, Dr. Strand, in addressing this at a... constitutional lawful level before it goes any further, considering the sedition and treason that's being hoisted upon the sovereigns of this country.
Well, I think that there are people who do not believe in the Constitution. They believe that we should have a dictatorship. They believe we should have a royalty, an aristocracy running things, and we serfs should be brought under their control. And so the secret of America was the fact that the power of the federal government was to be limited, because it's much harder to control the state legislatures of 50 sovereign states than to buy the politicians in Washington, D.C. It's easier to control one centralized authority. And so that's what they've done. They've violated the Constitution. They violated the entire concept of our Constitution. And then the one thing our founding fathers feared, and that is centralize all power in Washington.
Well, considering the conversation I had with a congressional representative yesterday at her boss's office here in Coeur d'Alene, it's pretty evident either the mind control is that strong from her public school system education, or she never was exposed to the material, because it was very evident when she mentioned Mr. Craig as being an honorable and honest man. Her voice rose when I tried to ask her if he was so honorable and so honest, why would he be violating his oath of office? They really didn't want to hear that. It really went downhill, and unfortunately, I'm going to have to address it in public at least one more time.
Well, I would. I think the thing to do is to bring out the fact that we, our elected representatives have sworn to uphold the Constitution, and I would say that probably, with a very, very few exceptions, maybe a dozen congressmen, everybody else is violating their oath that they've sworn. And they're voting on legislation that expands the power of the federal government and gives the federal government the right to control education. There's nothing in the Constitution that allows them to do that, to provide health care and medical care for the people, to go to war without congressional permission to provide for our pensions, even to tax the people. If you go read the Constitution, this was specifically forbidden. And, of course, if you've read Bill Benson's work on the 16th Amendment, you'll find out that the states never ratified the 16th
Obviously.
Or the 17th Amendments.
Exactly.
But the average American doesn't know that, because the media has been taken over. So we not only have to fight a lot of congressmen who may very well consider themselves honest men because they have never studied the Constitution, but, of course, more than that, we have to buck a mass media that is totally under the control of a group of very wealthy and evil people who are intentionally suppressing the truth from the American people.
My question to you, morally and ethically, considering that half these people would be that mind-controlled, that dumbed down, or wish the American sovereign to believe so, that would it be appropriate to consider the Senate Subcommittee on Un-American Activities reinstitution and or public trials for sedition, treason, misprison of justice, and or obstruction of justice, if not war crimes?
I think that what we need to do is just vote them all out of office and put people in office who really understand the Constitution. And I would simply...
But they never go away, Dr. Stan. They never go away.
Oh, I know. Freedom never slows. Close thine eyes in slumber, for thy enemies never sleep. But if the American people understood the Constitution, and they were to go to a forum, or even any time ask the congressman about specific constitutional issues. In fact, I'll never forget one time when I was at a forum where they asked our local congressman how many amendments were to the how many articles were in the Constitution, and he thought he said 23. He didn't know the difference between an article and an amendment. That is a man who today is a congressman back in Washington, D.C. So we should have a test for anybody running for Congress. And if they can't, you know, at least get a 90% rating on their knowledge of the Constitution, then they should be prohibited from running for political office. I really believe that.
Are you going to be able to loan us Constance as well as Mr. Chimish for program? Have you mentioned it to him?
I'm sorry, now what was that?
I had made a request in regard to borrowing Barry as well as Mrs. I just said it, I'm so
Constance
tired.
Constance Cumby.
Constance.
You wanted to borrow them or borrow their tapes or what?
No, he's... Well, whatever you can send for ammunition. The young people are listening a lot closer. We were hoping that you would coordinate a radio broadcast with them, with another group, so that their message could get out there, because I think it would open up and clarify a lot of fogginess that they have going on.
First of all, if you go to my website now, that's RadioLiberty.com, and there's a new link there. It's to on-site video, and we actually have there the talk that Constance Cumby gave at our last conference. So you can watch that on that website. So, and that's perfectly free to see. And then, of course, we also we actually archive these programs now on our website at RadioLiberty.com. That's Global Star hookup, and so people can go there and pull them down, either in regular or in MP3. So it's all available. If you can get go to our website and now we've got everything all up to date as far as what the programs are. We're having Constance on again, I think later this week, and we're having certainly having Barry on. I think he's tomorrow. No, he's on Friday evening at 9. So get them listening. They're both excellent guests.
I'll make a point of maybe I could get with you later on tomorrow and
okay,
maybe
fine.
I could get the time.
Hey, look, thanks very much for calling, Bill.
Bless you. Thank you so
bye-bye.
Much, sir. Bye-bye.
Well, let's go to Carlos calling from Carson. Is that Carson City, Nevada?
No, that's Carson, California, Dr. Stan.
All right, fine. Good to hear from you, Carson.
Yes, Carson, I met you several times. Then.
Sure.
Dr. Stan, you know, the surge towards the war in Iran is strangely silent. I wonder why. I wonder what they're scheming.
Well,
there was a lot of Iran was in the news quite a bit a few months back. Now you don't hear much, and that kind of bothers me.
Well, I think it ought to bother you, because I think that what is that? You know, a lot of silence before the storm.
Right.
I really believe that they're planning on a war with Iran, and they're just looking for an incident, or they're going to create an incident to justify going to war with Iran. And I'll tell you, one of the things that really bothered me this week was an article that appeared on World Affairs Brief talking about the war games that were played before the United States went to war with Iraq. And they had about 13 days they were going to play war games. You know, they have somebody plays like they're the enemy, like they're the Iranians and the Iraqis, and we had our fleet over there in the Straits of Hormuz, and they figured how this was going to play out. And the first day, we lost our entire fleet. We lost the entire American fleet. And in fact, they would have had to cancel the war games, or they had to resurrect the fleet and then make the rules so that the other side couldn't attack our fleet. They know that if we go to war with Iran, we will probably lose our fleet. Imagine the impact that will have on the morale of our men, our fighting men. Imagine the impact it will have on the American people. Imagine the impact it will have upon the world and their confidence in America and the dollar. And, of course, this could be the death knell for our currency, suddenly that if we were to lose a large part of our fleet over there, people all throughout the world would begin dumping dollars. It would crash our economy and destroy the infrastructure of our nation. I think we're in real trouble, Carlos. I don't know what's going to happen, but we're going to have to pray for God's guidance, and But I don't think he's going to avoid this war. I think he's going to bring his judgment on this nation.
Well, you know, I think you're right. I think the war in Iran is going to propel us to a new ring of an escalation towards the police state. It's going to catapult us to the next level of the police state, because that's going to justify, of course, our government's imposition of more and more laws that are going to infringe on our rights.
Yeah. And of course, remember, of course, that they have given Halliburton $385 million to prepare for building a series of concentration camps, about $4 billion worth, massive concentration camps all over America. We are refurbishing the Japanese concentration camps that were used during the Second World War. Obviously, they know what lies ahead. And, of course, President Bush's Sydney, the Military Commission Act, the John Warner Defense Appropriation Act, his recent presidential directives, both national security, I believe it was national security at 51 and homeland security 20, give him the ability to establish a dictatorship in America at any time. Any of our listeners can get them. They were actually passed May the 9th of this year. And you can get them off the president's website. Read them. Understand that they know exactly what lies ahead, but they're not telling the American people. Carlos, hang on. We'll be back with you in just a moment.
Okay, thank you.
Bye-bye. Carlos, go ahead. Did you have a comment?
Yes. Dr. Stan?
Yeah, go ahead.
Yes. Well, you know, when I look at our society and I look at all the different things that are happening, I can see how they contribute to the police. For instance, the other day I heard where there's tremendous delays now in getting passports. And I'm thinking, well, I'm sure the government is deliberately doing that in order to discourage people from traveling. Why? Because they want people fixated. That, in conjunction with the rising price of oil, is going to limit our travel capabilities. And then, of course, when you start looking at the quarantining of that one guy, that's a psychological ploy, the guy that had tuberculosis, a psychological ploy starting to condition us for quarantining, which, of course, that's going to be happening to us. You take also at the race against illegal aliens. On the surface, it appears to be something that we're finally doing something against illegal immigration. But I think our government is not really concerned with illegal immigration. They're concerned with the psychological impact that's creating on the population in general when you see Homeland Security buses picking people up. We're being conditioned again, because those Homeland Security buses eventually will be used against the general population.
I think
and so on and so on. There's so many signals that when you put them together, you can see the approaching police state.
I think you're absolutely right, Carlos. Our job is to try to get people to understand this, and you can't tell them too much. I mean, we have, of course, you know, some excellent four tape sets, or we have a concentration camp special. We have a lot of DVDs and videos on this subject. But what you best would do is simply ask people, why do you think that they're giving Halliburton $385 million for building concentration camps in America? Why are they planning on building concentration camps? Why do you think it is? Try to get them to think. We're not going to be able to tell them all at once, but once you've got them at least questioning or thinking, maybe you can get them listening to my program and we can educate them the rest of the way.
Well, yes, definitely, Dr. Stan. You're one of our leaders, and I pray many times that God will give you strength, because you know what's happening. You are spreading the message, which is so vitally important. Our Western civilization is collapsing.
Yeah, I say we're out of time. Good night. Yeah. God bless, Carlos.
Thank you.
Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, and certainly this is the time when I have to mention that Radio Liberty is primarily listener-supported, and we depend upon those of you who listen to us on a regular basis to help us. If you agree with me that we are involved in a spiritual battle being played out on a political, ideological, and cultural battlefield, if you agree with me that America and our freedom hangs like by a thread, and that there really are people who would take away our freedom, then I hope that many of you will give serious consideration to joining the Radio Liberty family of supporters, because that's how we're able to do what we do. 5 hours every day on radio, internet, shortwave, or satellite, that you can hear us, and we do hope that many of you will give serious consideration becoming members of the Radio Liberty family of supporters. Then, of course, we suggest many of you would ought to think about getting my book, Brotherhood of Darkness, or my talk, The Forbidden Secret. This is available on DVD. My talk on Iraq, The Untold Story, which goes into the background of all of the wars of the last century and points out that the Gulf of Tonkin incident was a fraud, and that 58,000 American boys died for nothing. We ought to learn something from that. We ought to learn something from what happened in Vietnam and what happened, of course, in the First World War and the Second World War, and the fact that we are headed rapidly into World War III. So then, of course, we have the talk on the World Revolution, where you'll actually see my interview with Ambassador Sullivan, as he tells you how we intentionally brought Fidel Castro to power, and we've kept Fidel Castro in power all these years. All the time he rants and raves against America, and ladies and gentlemen, it's all showbiz. And then, of course, my talk on the hidden agenda, the background behind the fluoride, a scam where they're poisoning our children, and they're poisoning us with water fluoridation. And then, lastly, let me suggest Dr. David Ayoub's excellent DVD and or video, Mercury, Autism, and the Global Population Agenda. And, of course, you get with that, if you order it, a CD-ROM with thousands of pages of scientific information. You need to have this information. You need to let people understand they are intentionally poisoning our children to the point where today one in every six American children has some sort of a neurodevelopmental abnormality. Why would anybody do that? Because there really are people who hate children. Why do you think they want abortion? You think they want a moment to have a choice? No, they relish at the thought of those poor, innocent children in utero being torn apart bit by bit. There are people with a different worldview. These are the people with the mentality of Dr. Mengele. They're the mentality of the Nazi war criminals who used to love to experiment upon people and hear them scream. Understand that, of course, Dr. Mengele was allowed to escape to South America, and I believe was allowed to come to America and work within the shadows of the Central Intelligence Agency. I've personally talked to three people who tell me they met Dr. Mengele here in the United States, and I've talked to others who have had similar stories. So when you understand this, you need to get, of course, Operation Paperclip, the four-tape set, will introduce you to this whole different world. Well, our telephone number is 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. Our webpage is radioliberty.com. If you'd like to get a free newsletter, we'd be glad to send it to you. If you'd like to get an emergency, a food catalog or a health catalog or just a regular catalog, we'll send you one. Begin making preparations for the very difficult times that lie ahead. And then, of course, please keep Radio Liberty in your prayers and pray for our provision and for our protection. And we'll be back here in just a moment for the next hour, and we're going to have Johanna Michaels with us, I guess. So don't even think about changing the dial. We'll be back in just a moment here at Radio Liberty. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story. Hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at. Illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that will determine what the future will bring. And I have to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views, the views of our guests, and, well, this evening we're hoping to have with us Johanna Michelson. And those of you who do not know Johanna, Johanna was a medium, and she had the supernatural gift of being able to contact the other dimension. And when she was a young woman living in Mexico, she was actually recruited to become a psychic healer. And she attended many sessions with this woman, this older Mexican woman, who could perform these truly supernatural surgical feats. She could reach into somebody's head and pull out a tumor. Now, how do you reach into somebody's head and pull out a tumor? I mean, in the material world we live in, that sort of thing cannot happen. But in the other dimension, all sorts of things can happen. And Johanna was really so taken with this, and she was thrilled to think that one day she too would be able to carry out these miraculous feats, and people would come from all over Mexico, indeed all over the Western Hemisphere, for these treatments. And of course, many of them, most of them, were actually cured or appeared to be cured of the terrible inflictions that they had. And then, of course, her sister, Johanna's sister, kept telling her that this was demonic. This was not of God. But Johanna said, how could this not be of God? This is wonderful, these things are happening. And of course, what happened, of course, was that eventually Johanna went off to Switzerland and spent some time there with Francis Schaeffer, and eventually came to realize that what she was witnessing truly was supernatural, but it was not of God. Well, right now, to our good friend, Johanna Michelson. Hi, Johanna, how you doing?
I'm doing very well, Dr. Stan. Thank you. How are you?
I'm doing fine. Well, have we got the phone worked out?
Well, no, not really very well. I've got a problem with the unit I usually use. It is giving me a very difficult time.
Well, let's just, this one sounds pretty good, so let's go. And I just sort of introduced you. I'm going to let you pick up the ball and run with it.
Well, what are we picking up and where are we running?
Well, you just told me you wanted to talk about the things we've talked about in the past, your supernatural experiences there in Mexico, and then where this has all led you, realizing that there is another dimension. There's a spiritual dimension that most people do not recognize. And you, of course, experienced this when you were a young woman in Mexico and working with as sort of a sorcerer's apprentice.
All right.
Go ahead.
Well, Dr. Stan, it's good to be with you tonight. And, you know, I've been thinking a lot about the nature of deception since we spoke last, and there is such a massive, overwhelming preponderance of evidence that indeed we are, I firmly believe, living at the very end of the end times, those times of which Jesus himself spoke when he was asked what would be the signs of the end of the age and of his coming. The Lord warned us in Matthew 24, and we're all familiar, I'm sure, with the passage, most of your audience is, I'm sure, Dr. Stan, about the wars and the rumors of wars and the frightening things that we're seeing now, nation rising against nation, the earthquakes, the famines, the plagues, the betrayals. But the one sign...
Hold that thought. We'll be back in just a moment. Johanna, go ahead.
But the one sign, Dr. Stan, that Jesus mentioned not once, not twice, but three times, was a warning about spiritual deception. He said to his people, "See to it that no one misleads you, for many will come in my name, saying, I am the Christ and will mislead many. And then he tells us in verse 11 that many false prophets would arise and would indeed mislead many. And then in case we didn't get it the first two times around, he tells us again that false Christs and false prophets would arise and would show great signs and wonders so as to mislead even the elect. And I believe firmly, Dr. Stan, that we're seeing that. You know, I myself experienced the world of the occult and the supernatural from the time I was very young. And back when I was growing up, the story was somewhat unusual. It sadly no longer is. Countless millions of people are encountering and experiencing supernatural phenomena, the awareness of another dimension in which terrible things happen, frightening things happen, and certainly also the other side, things that seem appealing and beautiful happen. And for me, it started when I was about 11 and a half, when something moved into our home, slammed doors that my father had locked twice with the only key, stomped down the stairs, terrified the dogs, woke up my sister. My sister and I were growing up in Mexico at the time. And from that point on, Dr. Stan, something had moved into our home, which gave me an overwhelming awareness of the fact that there was a dimension that was very real but unseen, and yet a sinister terror that was as tangible as the chair I'm sitting on right now as we speak. I began to become increasingly aware of the fact that I was developing psychic abilities as I grew older, knew what people were thinking, which was rarely what they were saying, had an uncanny ability to know what was going to happen before it happened. Many of our audience, I know, are familiar with this. And went all through my college days being labeled a weirdo at best and a witch at worst. Weirdo I was, witch I wasn't, not by the Wiccan definition of it today, but really at a loss, Dr. Stan, because I felt at the mercy of these forces. I didn't know what to do with them. But when I got out of college, I went back to Mexico, where my father and mother were living still at the time. And my father came across an ad for...
Hold on, though. We'll be back in just a moment with Johanna Michaels. Well, this is Dr. Stan. You go right ahead, Mike and Johanna.
My father came across an ad for a group in Mexico, in Cuernavaca, called Silva Mind Control. Today they call it the Silva Method. And it's one of many different mind control or mind development groups, psychic development groups, which was teaching us to develop the genius potential of the brain, supposedly. And what they were doing, basically, Dr. Stan, was teaching us how to become psychics and how to get our spirit guide. Sadly, it's the same kind of thing that a lot of the kids in our school systems are learning this very day, and even in a lot of the Christian schools, and what a lot of people, even in the church, are learning how to do. And we'll be talking about that as we go along. But when I got involved with this mind control group, Dr. Stan, I felt really as though God had given me the answer to my prayers. I finally now was learning how to control the forces that had pretty well buffeted me at will. The faces that would show up, the manifestations, the terrifying sense of a presence. I was learning now how to weave around myself a white light of protection that gave me a sense of peace and security. I was learning how to meditate at a deeper level using the techniques, by the way, that are virtually identical to those now being promoted in the contemplative prayer movement in the church, practicing yoga and learning now how to gain a mastery over these forces that I had received no answer to, not from the Catholic nuns in the school I went to or from the so-called priests in our Episcopal church, who were, it turns out, more involved in the occult than I ever knew. And through these people in Silva Mind Control, Dr. Stan, I was introduced to my personal spirit guide. Of course, they didn't call them spirit guides then. They probably still don't. This was my wise person, my counselor, my friend, whom I invited into my laboratory. And when I was told that we would need this counselor who would come and work with us at a psychic level to give us information and to help us produce good effect and positive healing in the lives of people around us, I thought, what better counselor could I possibly have than Jesus Christ? After all, I was a Christian. I'd accepted the Lord as my personal Savior my freshman year in college. I had asked him to come into my life. Somebody shared the four spiritual laws with me. And I knew on the basis of the Word of God that if I died that moment, that I would go to be with the Lord. Dr. Stan, everything about this Jesus seemed so right. When he manifested in this special psychic laboratory that I created in the silence, this quiet meditative place that we were taught to go into using the same kind of techniques, very similar to first level hypnosis induction techniques, similar to the kinds of techniques used in the guided imagery visualization practices now introduced and which have been introduced in the churches for many, many years now, I saw this being who looked like every picture of Jesus I'd ever seen. And I thought, how wonderful, it's true. Jesus said he stands at the door and knocks. I opened the door and here he is. And of course, so was Sarah Bernhardt. I was a theater major, not that I could act my way out of a paper stack. But I thought, well, I could use some acting tips, so I invited Sarah Bernhardt. She actually showed up, wooden leg and all. And I was convinced now, Dr. Stan, that I was on my way to doing something positive. Now, as I was working with Silva Mind Control and practicing now yoga, because I was getting involved in that as well, something very popular in the Christian realm today, I was also introduced to a woman in Mexico City who had been for some 40 years or more at the time, Dr. Stan, doing astonishing things. This woman was one of the few genuine psychic surgeons in the world, documented extensively by some of the top researchers in the field, Andre Puharich, Stanley Krippner, Alberto Villoldo, many other researchers who were not easily duped. And this woman, Dr. Stan, would go into a trance state sitting in front of a simple altar in the slums of Mexico City, an altar that was covered with flowers, with weird packages wrapped up in bells, with jars of flowers and roses, with a crucifix and a picture of Jesus. And then, of course, there was also the statue of Hermanito Cuauhtémoc, the Aztec prince who claimed to be the spirit who was coming back to work these miraculous healings and cures through Pachita. She would sit down. We would begin to pray the Lord's Prayer. She would go into a full trance state, and someone else would come and take possession of her. She was a full trance medium. And this spirit would come, Dr. Stan, and do astonishing things. You're a medical surgeon, and I know, as I've shared my story with you and our audience in the past, I can almost feel the eyebrows raising, because I'd be raising them myself. This woman would take the rusty hunting knife and, in the power of the spirit, would literally cut open the patient lying on a cot with no more benefit of antiseptic than a bottle of new alcohol that was opened and splattered around, no more anesthesia than taking a few deep breaths and relaxing, the patient totally awake. And Dr. Stan, all I can tell you is I had my hands in it. I assisted personally in over 400 operations, because this medium, when I met her, it was after the surgeries. She was sitting on a cot, puffing on a cigarette, her arms crusted in dried blood. We got in there too late the first time I went there to see the operations. And she looked at me and took my hand and she said, "You're a medium, aren't you?" Now, that was a term I'd never used for myself, but somehow it seemed to fit. And she told me to continue my studies with Silva Mind Control, to come back the next week, and that she would begin my training. And I went for 14 months, Dr. Stan, assisted personally in over 400 operations. I saw cataracts removed. with the woman sitting there with her eye wide open as a bottle of alcohol is poured into the eye without a moment of pain or flinching on her part. Some kind of a scum is peeled off, and the woman is bound up, her eye bound up. She's carried out. The next week she comes back. The cataract is gone. The doctor can't figure out what happened. A man who had an inoperable brain tumor lying on the cot on a plank that was brought in especially for this, because this was a different kind of operation. His skull, Dr. Stan, literally cut open. I know how this sounds. I know how this sounds. I would have thought I was insane or lying as well if I'd heard this story as well. All I can tell you is that this man's skull was cut open. My hands were on either side of the skull. I could feel the hands inside there through the bone. Espachita was wiggling around and pulled out a stench of a tumor. The man's eyes crossed as we were speaking. I was holding his hand. I was speaking to him, and he's telling me, I can't tell you how weird this is. I can feel his hands inside my head. What is this? What is this? And then when his eyes crossed, he was really freaking out because he couldn't see straight anymore, literally. And Hermanito said, well, that certainly won't do. And he sticks his hand back in the man's skull, wiggles around, and the man's eyes straighten up. He was bound up. Months later, when I went back and checked on him, and over a year after that, when I went back and did some research and was checking on him, the man's tumor was completely gone. The doctors had no explanation. Doctors, then I saw what I could only explain and understand as miracles. And the point is this, Dr. Stan, my experience told me that this had to be from God. Everything that I had experienced in my early years with the presence of the beings, with the door slamming, with the frightening phenomena at Wesleyan College in Macon, Georgia, and at Chapel Hill, North Carolina, all of the fearsome manifestations and the gruesome things that would sit on the side of my bed, all of that was driven away as I would weave this white light around myself. And now, practicing yoga, doing the hatha yoga, the meditation yoga, the mantra yoga, which is such an integral part of contemplative prayer today, my experience said this was from God. And you know, the frightening thing today, Dr. Stan, is how now I believe in fulfillment of the word of God and prophecy. You see now that millions of people are yearning, are seeking for that experience that gives them a sense of the transcendent, a passion for that immediate transcendent experience of God. And people don't much care, certainly at least according to Newsweek magazine that came out with an article in 2005 on the subject, cover article called Spirituality in America, where it said that millions of people now are embracing a desperate search for a deeper understanding and relationship with God, and whatever it takes to get that experience, they are willing to do it. And this isn't just in the Christian perspective. The pagans, the neo-pagans, the Wiccans, even the Satanists are experiencing a tremendous burgeoning. The Muslims and the Sufis are experiencing great resurgence and interest in devotion to God. The Buddhists certainly as well are experiencing that through the meditation techniques. But what has really been unnerving for me and for others of us, Dr. Stan, and I know you yourself as well, you've been speaking about this and trying to warn your audience for a very long time, is that there is a desperate danger in basing what you believe about God on your experience taken over and above the inerrant word of God, which is no longer something that's even believed in an awful lot of churches.
And I think that's really, really what it's all about. Everybody wants to experience God. Everybody wants a supernatural experience, as if somehow that's going to draw us closer to God. But that supernatural experience in truth may be actually dragging us away from God and, of course, misleading us dangerously. Go right ahead, Joanna.
You know, the thing I think, Dr. Stan, that made the difference for me in my leaving the occult was the fact that more than anything else, I wanted to know the truth. Back in 1972 now, I'd been, and this, I guess it would have been in 73, I'd been working with the medium for 14 months. I had decided that this was what I was devoting my life to. I had decided that these experiences were so wonderful, and the joy of seeing people healed and feeling that my life was worth something and had value was so overwhelming that I determined that I was going to devote my life to that. But there was someone in my life who kept doing the most annoying thing, saying, look, Johanna, I know your experience is astonishing. I know that you are convinced and totally believe because of your experience now that this is from God. But how do you know? Is there any source of absolute truth against which you can test your experience, against which you can compare the two and say, you know what, this is valid and blessed of God, and no, this is dangerous and I've been deceived? On what basis can you tell? And that is one of the most important questions, I think, that Christians, especially those who say or think or would like to think that they take the Bible seriously, would be asking themselves. Because if there is no source, Dr. Stan, of absolute truth against which we can compare our experience, then on what basis are we going to be able to discern what is from God and what isn't? If we can't learn at this stage, in the end times, when the Lord Jesus Christ himself warned us in Matthew 24 and in numerous other places, verse after verse after verse, warning us not to be deceived, warning us to be on the alert, because our adversary the devil prowls about like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour, 1 Peter 5:8. The thing is, we have been so completely undiscerning that I'm afraid that most of the church, as I'm looking at it, is right now looking more like a nice steamy plate of lamb chops that has already been half devoured than it is like the flock of the Lord Jesus Christ, because we have totally ignored God's command to be on the alert. You know, you're seeing it in every direction. The emerging church, for example, Dr. Stan, and I know you've done numerous programs on the issue of the emerging church now, the church that is seeking to minister, supposedly, to the younger generation, to be relevant, to fill the void of the empty ritual and the old-fashioned way of worshiping and the old supposed orthodoxy that is no longer relevant for today. And there are those in the ministry, and understandably, who are seeking relevant ways of ministering to the young people today. And what we have seen in their yearning to do so, and in the correlation between that and the overwhelming desperate need to experience something, that swing back from the pendulum when back in 1966, you know, we had the old arid theology that told us that God was dead. Well, God wasn't dead. What was dead was the old form of doing things, the old church structure.
Hold that thought there. We'll be back in just a moment with Johanna. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and Chris, Johanna is pointing out the fact that so many people today want to experience God. They're looking for some sort of a supernatural experience to know that it's true. And of course, rather than sticking to the scriptures and what it says in the scriptures and learning about God that way, and now, of course, we want something. Wouldn't it be nice if each of us could have that supernatural experience? The only trouble is, can we be sure it's coming from God and not from the other dimension? And one of the biggest problems is, Johanna, that most people, most Christians today, do not realize that we live in one dimension, but there is another dimension there, a spiritual dimension, and there really are beings that transcend from one dimension to the other and can, of course, encounter us. And, of course, they are deceiving. They're trying to lure us away from the truth. So you pick up the story there.
Well, the thing is, Dr. Stan, not only are they trying to lure us from the truth, but because there has been such an attack on the reliability and the validity of the Word of God as source of absolute truth, that concept now is anathema even to many pastors and many leaders in the church, as we'll see in a moment. What is absolutely terrifying is that now practices that once easily from Scripture could have been identified as being something God would not bless have now been brought into the church, and we're being told by people, for example, like Tilden Edwards, who's the founder of Shalem Institute, one of the biggest institutes teaching contemplative prayer, that what makes a particular practice Christian isn't its source, but its intent. So what they're telling us now, Dr. Stan, is it doesn't matter if you want to bring in yoga, if you want to bring in ancient Buddhist meditative practices, mantra yoga, if you want to bring in ancient occult techniques of pranayama and deep breathing, if you want to bring in any form of ESP or occultism into the church, what matters is your intent, not the source of the practice. And I will tell you, at that point, you are seeing the fulfillment of Scripture about even the elect being deceived, because what you have done now is totally eradicate and remove any possibility of testing the spirits to see whether they're from God. How on earth are you going to do that if all you've got to rely on is your intent? And really, when we started to see the swing, Dr. Stan, was in the 60s, because at that point you had out in the one of the monasteries there, Catholic monastery, St. Joseph Abbey, a Father Thomas Keating who was sitting there in Massachusetts, and they were very deeply involved in many of these practices, all of these things of contemplative prayer, meditation techniques, deep breathing techniques, have all been a part of the Catholic Church for centuries. It was brought in, actually, by the early Desert Fathers. And the early Desert Fathers were the small groups, isolated groups of men and women, monks, nuns, who in the early Middle Ages would gather themselves off in a desperate and sincere yearning and desire to come close to God. And off in the Middle East, in the desert, there they would gather in the small groups and practice whatever technique they could find to give them an experience with God. And what was a little unnerving then is it didn't much matter to them. It was a time of experimenting, and they didn't have many guidelines at the time, and it didn't much matter to them what kind of technique. So that when you had the meditative techniques coming through Alexandria in Egypt, picking up the Hellenistic and Roman influences, the mystery religions, the Gnostic tendencies and approaches and belief systems, the ancient Hindu practices, the meditation techniques that were an integral part of the yoga system, they simply said, oh, just like Tilden Edwards, what makes a particular practice Christian is not its source, but its intent. Okay, these techniques of contemplative prayer and meditation are being used by the Buddhists, or later on the Buddhists, and the Hindus and the mystery religions, but we are going to use it to glorify Christ. And then in the 60s, Father Thomas Keating brought in a Zen master into their Trappist monastery saying, you know, if we're having these great religious experiences here, maybe there's something now that we could use to deepen it. And they brought in the great Zen master, Roshi Sasaki, to lead a retreat at the Abbey. And they had an incredible time, powerful spiritual techniques. And they said, ah, now, can we find a Christian tradition?
Hold that thought, we'll be right back. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, and our guest is Johanna Michelson, and we're talking about Really, of course, the history of the extension of these mystical approaches into this Catholic abbey. So pick the story up there. These people are searching for a means of experiencing God. There's a Catholic unit, and they've even brought in somebody from the Eastern mystical religions. And how are we going to experience Christ? Go ahead.
And so they had this wonderful experience with the Zen master, Roshi Suzaki. And then Father Thomas Keating, the abbot of the abbey there, said to his Trappist brother, Father William Menninger, look, see if we can find a Christian perspective to this. And sure enough, one day in 1974, he comes across a dusty old copy of a 14th century guide to contemplative meditation called The Cloud of Unknowing. And it draws on the work of one of the writings, as well as on the writings of St. John of the Cross and Teresa de Avila. And they began teaching a form of, quote, Christian meditation that really has now grown into a worldwide phenomenon, Dr. Stan, and it's known as centering prayer, which really is the lifeblood of the emerging church. That emerging church, which is seeking to minister to the young people, the young generation, that is bent on experience. So now here, they have the perfect venue for bringing these people into what they consider an experience with God in a Christian perspective. The only problem is, with these centering techniques, is that they're realizing, and they knew it even then, that these were identical to the Buddhist perspective, to the Buddhist approach that the Zen master Roshi Suzaki was teaching them in their monastery. And it was inevitable that they would find those similarities because they have the roots in the same place. The contemplative prayer now is focusing on basically one thing, a philosophy and a theology that says God is bigger than just this personal being. God is a force. God is all around us. We are one with God. And what we need to do is to get back and remember that we are a part of the divine, we are in paradise, we've just forgotten it. And through this practice of centering prayer, in which we sit in a quiet meditative state and take a word, a single word which we can say over and over and over and over again.
Hold that thought for just a moment. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and Johanna is describing the techniques that are being used, certainly within the emerging church, the centering prayer technique that is being used, and taking one word and repeating it over and over and over again. We come into almost an alpha state, into a hypnotic situation where our minds are open to the beings from the other dimension to come in and take control. Pick the story up there.
And of course, Dr. Stan, they would take grave exception to phrasing it that way, that we're opening our minds to other beings to take control, and yet that is exactly what is happening. Contemplative prayer isn't biblical prayer at all. It's a type of mystical meditation that is designed to put you in an altered state of consciousness. It's something that's going beyond thought, and it's seeking to provide an experiential union with whatever. They're calling it God. But the question is it God? And you know, as you're looking, Dr. Stan, at these practices, the contemplative prayer, the deep breathing techniques that now are being promoted by Rick Warren in his purpose-driven book, you know, do the breath prayer where you're breathing in Jesus, and you can say the word over and over again, or Jesus, have mercy on me, a sinner, and you're breathing out the negativity and the fear and the all the stuff that you don't want to be a part of your soul. And you're doing this until you're feeling and sensing that experience with the divine. And what you've done, Dr. Stan, is now left yourself open in neutral to something very, very different. And how do we know? All right, let's get back to what the Word of God says. The Word of God, as we are looking at that, gives us some pretty clear guidelines about the influences from the East. It gives us some very clear direction about what God has to say about those who were bringing in the practices of other gods. You know, in Isaiah chapter 1, verse 6, for example, it tells us that, and here, let me find the passage for you exactly. It says, "You have abandoned your people, the house of Jacob, because you were filled with influences from the east, and they are soothsayers like the Philistines." Isaiah chapter 2, verse 6. And here we are now bringing in influences from the east and saying these things are going to be blessed from God because we're so sincere. Actually, Dr. Stan, I think one of the things the church needs to take hold of is that sincerity does not act as a kind of magical protection against demonic intrusion or deception. There isn't a single verse anywhere in the Bible that assures us our sincerity alone is going to protect us or guarantee us automatic immunity from spiritual deception. And that is something I think that the church simply doesn't want to deal with and will not acknowledge. They feel if we're sincere, if we are moving into an area that makes sense to us, then on what basis are we going to say that this isn't from God? People like Leonard Sweet, for example, also one of the leaders in this movement, a futurist and a professor, who's written a couple of books now that I found rather unnerving on many levels, Quantum Spirituality, for example, a postmodern apologetic, in which he's talking about the trends of the future. And there isn't an occultist or a New Ager that he doesn't praise and hold in high esteem here, from David Spangler, a metaphysician, to Matthew Fox, one of the great heretics that even the Catholic Church has recognized as a heretic. And he's talking about how really we, unfortunately as Christians, have kept in good repair prejudices against what may be God's other sign language of the fourth dimension, also known as the fourth psychology. And he's saying, really, what a shame, because here you've got millions of people across the world who know that there is this other dimension, extrasensory perception, psychokinesis, the mind's ability to alter matter, the out-of-body experiences, near-death experiences, remote viewing, all the things that you're seeing, for example, on Medium or these other programs on TV that are so popular now. And he's saying, yeah, you know, it's unfortunate that the church, fearing the stamp of lunacy, is remaining antagonistic or indifferent, even broaching a subject about which everyone seems to know something. He said millions of people are involved in occult experiences, but oh, how unfortunate and how tragic that the church is ignoring it and turning its back on it and is saying, oh, we don't dare go anywhere near that. It's too frightening. But he's saying, look, the postmodern culture is very superstitious. 73% are avoiding walking under a ladder, and they'll step into a street to avoid doing that. 1 in 4 believe in ghosts. 1 in 6 communicate with a deceased. 1 in 4 communicate telepathically with another person. 1 in 10 claim to have seen a ghost or felt its presence. 1 in 7 claim to have seen a UFO. 1 in 2 believes in ESP. 1 in 4 follows astrology. How many people are checking their astrological chart to see whether they should get out of bed in the morning? And he's saying the church must not sweep mysticism under the rug. The paranormal is normal. Extrasensory perception, ESP, is real, not imagined or schizophrenic. Mystical experiences happen. And he's right. Mystical experiences do happen. The question is, how do you tell the difference between what is of God and what isn't? And people, as you're listening and sorting this out, if you are going to go testing your theology only by it feels right, I had a wonderful experience, then you need to know, in accordance with the Word of God, you have left yourself open to some frightening things, because God has a very dim view of those who practice the kinds of things taught by the contemplative prayer, going into an altered state of consciousness, seeking to become one with the divine, seeking to develop psychic and mystical abilities and powers, seeking to communicate with the dead. And you know, Dr. Stan, as I was thinking about a lot of these things around the time when I was involved with Pachita and practicing yoga, and this person in my life, my sister, kept asking me the question, Johanna, you're having these beautiful experiences. You believe you're seeing Jesus. You believe as you're chanting your mantra and as you're communing now and going into your deep trance state that you're following God and that what you're experiencing is from God. How do you know? And I had to admit, Dr. Stan, all I had to go on was, it feels right. I had nothing else. It feels right. And then I reached a point where I said, well, what if I've been deceived? What if these mystical experiences I'm having through ESP and psychic phenomena, through the practice of yoga, which I was convinced was something that was helping me commune with the living God. I used it to worship the Lord, even as these people now who are writing these books on Christian yoga believe that they're doing. Not understanding that it's an oxymoron. There is no such thing as Christian yoga, any more than there is any such thing as Christian Buddhism or Christian Sufism and Muslims or Christian Wiccans. And yet, I'm looking at stacks of documentation right now. You can download it on the internet about the Christian Buddhists, the Christian Muslims, and the Christian Wiccans, and the Christian Luciferians. Because they will not test their experiences against the Word of God. Deuteronomy chapter 18, verse 9, states the following, and I think, church, it's important to listen to. The Lord was giving us a warning, and Moses was speaking to the people of Israel before they were to enter the promised land, and he said this, when you enter the land which the Lord your God gives you, you shall not learn to imitate the abominable things of those nations. There shall not be found among you anyone who makes his son or his daughter pass through the fire, which was a vile form of child sacrifice practiced by the Canaanites in those days. I suggest to you that while we may not see human sacrifice as much, at least in this country, to the god Moloch or Lucifer or Chemosh or Tanit, that the god self is every bit as much of a deity and a divinity, certainly in God's perspective. Self is as much of a false god as any of these other deities, and that when we practice abortion and wipe innocent life from our lives because it's inconvenient, that is as much human sacrifice to the God self as anything spoken about here in the Old Testament. But it was interesting to me, Dr. Stan, to see what God included with human sacrifice, or one who uses divination, astrology, the tarot cards, the I Ching that Carl Jung was so fond of and wrote a foreword to one of the translations for, the Ouija board. There are hundreds of thousands of different forms of divination, of seeking through occult hidden means information about the future. Or one who practices witchcraft, sorry Harry Potter and sorry Hermione. Witchcraft is something called abomination before the living God. And he doesn't differentiate between the black ones, the white ones, the red ones, the polka-dotted ones, the really creepy scary ones that you'll see in the Harry Potter movie coming out in the next few weeks, or the wonderful cute little ones that are going to Hogwarts School of Witchcraft and Wizardry. All of them are labeled abomination here. Or one who interprets omens, the superstition. A lot of horses are running around to this day in their stocking feet because farmers keep putting their shoes on the door to keep the luck from running out. Or a sorcerer. Again, sorry, Harry Potter. one who casts, and by the way, sorcery comes from the word pharmakia, the use of hallucinogenic drugs to put you in the same kind of altered state of consciousness which the contemplative prayer movement is achieving through the use of a mantra, through the use of the meditation techniques taught by the Buddhists and picked up by the ancient desert fathers and translated into the church, and then introduced even to the evangelical church through Richard Foster and Thomas Merton, whose one goal in life before he was electrocuted in India on a pilgrimage there to learn more about Hinduism and Buddhism was to become the best Buddhist he could possibly become, or one who casts a spell, or a medium. Oh, that would make me sit up, Dr. Stan. I was a medium. A medium is simply a go-between, someone who thinks they can communicate with the other world, the world of the dead, and indeed they can. The question is, with whom are they communicating? Or a spiritist, or one who calls up the dead. For whoever does these things is detestable to the Lord, and because of these detestable things, the Lord your God will drive them out from before you. You shall be blameless before the Lord your God. For those nations which you shall dispossess, listen to those who practice witchcraft and to diviners. But as for you, child of God, the Lord of your God has not allowed you to do so. You know, I have to wonder, Dr. Stan, as I read passage after passage, do not learn the way of the heathen. Do not become involved with those who practice witchcraft and listen to diviners. Isaiah chapter 8, when they say to you, let us consult the mediums and the wizards who chirp and mutter, should not a people consult their God? Should they consult the dead on behalf of the living? He says to the law and the testimony, if they don't speak according to this word, the revealed word of the living God, it's because they have no dawn in them. And Dr. Stan, that statement right there is a vile, politically incorrect, horrendously offensive one to an awful lot of pastors, big name pastors in the church, who now, because of their practices, are saying, look, if we are having the same experiences as the Buddhists and the Sufis and the Muslims and the Wiccans and Neo-Pagans, if we, through the same techniques of contemplative meditation, taking a word, whether it's Jesus, 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 or Om Mani Padme Om, or Om over and over and over again, if we're contacting what we believe, surely, must be the same source of divine, then on what basis are you, you narrow-minded Bible-thumping fundamentalist, going to sit there and say to me that what I'm experiencing isn't from God? And what's happening, Dr. Stan, is we, because of the open door now to all of these experiences which flooded in with the Beatles in the 60s, the drug culture, they're bringing in Maharishi Mahesh Yogi and the transcendental meditation, the flooding in of all the seeking after the mystical and the meditative and the experience that we are all so desperate for and longing for. What is it that's happening? Why are we seeing this? I believe it's because we are looking at the fulfillment of Scripture. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, we are told about one who is coming, one who will be rising up now. And we are told in 2 Thessalonians 2 not to be deceived. After a while, you get really sensitive to the fact that Scripture time and time and time again says to Christians, wake up, stop being deceived, test the spirits to see whether they're from God. Let no one in any way deceive you. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 3. For it will not come first until the apostasy comes, that man of lawlessness will be revealed, the son of destruction, who opposes and exalts himself above every so-called God or object of worship, so that he takes his seat in the temple of God, displaying himself as being God. That is, it says in verse 9, the one who's coming is in accord with the activity of Satan, with all power and signs and false wonders, and with all the deception of wickedness for those who perish. And now listen to this, audience. Because they did not receive the love of the truth so as to be saved. For this reason, God will send upon them a deluding influence so that they will believe what is false. People, that is what's happening today. Today we are seeing a flood of people who, because of these mystical experiences, are feeling, believing, experiencing that they are one with God, that they have that divine goodness inside of them that they have now tapped into, that higher self spoken about by the Hindus and the mystics for generations and for millennia. And once they've experienced that, when the Antichrist comes and says, "I am God," we won't be taken by surprise. There are countless of Antichrists, little gods running around. And when one comes displaying great power and says, "I am God," they're going to say, "Yes, you are. He's just oddier than the rest of us."
Hold that thought. We'll be back here in just a moment. But you had it. Well, Johanna, I agree with everything you've said. You know, the thing is that the Bible is so simple. It's not complex at all. People don't want anything simple. They want to make it complex. They want to feel it. They want to experience it. And yet, of course, Christianity is intellectual. It is not spiritual. It is not feeling good. It's not how you feel about what you believe. Well, we're just about out of time. Do you have a web page or any way that people could get in touch with you if they wanted more information?
Dr. Sten, I can be contacted through my publisher, Harvest House. But, you know, they will get it all mailed to me, and I'd be happy to correspond through that. But, you know, the one thing I want to end with, Dr. Sten, is people be alert. Because what you are doing when you go and cling to these other practices is very much like the sons of Aaron, Nadab and Abihu in Leviticus chapter 10, who decided they were going to come to God their way, never mind what the Bible had to say, and they offered strange fire before the Lord, which he'd not commanded them, and the Lord executed them for it. People of God, we do have a personal relationship with the living God. It isn't, Dr. Sten, I believe, just intellectual, because we come to God with our whole heart as well as our whole mind. But if you are judging and gauging your belief in what God is, in who God is, in who Jesus Christ, his Son, is, based on your experience, and an occultically based experience at that, then you run the danger of following after another Jesus, another spirit, another gospel, and worse, a danger of hearing the most horrendous words anybody could hear that Jesus spoke about when he told us to beware of the false prophets in Matthew 7, who come to you in sheep's clothing, pretending to be good, pretending to be godly, pretending to be sweet, pretending to be men of God, like Brian McLaren, one of the 25 top evangelicals, according to Time magazine a couple of years ago, who says, "Hell is the worst advertising God ever had, and shouldn't we be thinking of Jesus more like Mahatma Gandhi or like Martin Luther King rather than this exclusivist?" At that point, you will hear the words of the Lord saying, "Depart from me, you workers of iniquity. I never knew you, and I don't care how many times you called me Lord or prophesied or cast out demons. If you're following another Jesus whom you've conjured up or allowed in because of a cult-based experience, and you have not tested it according to the Word of God, you've got the wrong one, and he will not save you."
You were out of time. Good night. God bless. Well, our guest has been Johanna Michaels. And Johanna, thank you so very much for being with us this evening, and I hope we get you to come back again. I think everything you say is so true, and there is such spiritual deception all across our land, all across the world today. So, Johanna is gone, and so this is the time when I really need to remind our listeners that Radio Liberty is primarily listener-supported. And if you'd like to get a copy of this evening's tape, and remember, we do talk through the breaks, why, they're available through Radio Liberty, as all of our tapes are, and we have many tape sets. We have Cindy Johanna's book, The Beautiful Side of Evil. We have our interviews with her, The Supernatural. And if you'd like to get other interviews with Johanna, they are available through Radio Liberty, and you will learn and benefit so much from them. So I remember our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927. One of the most dangerous issues before the church today is this phenomenon of the secret. The book, the DVD, pushed by Rhonda Burns, it is an occult practice, and millions of Americans are adopting the law of attraction and dooming themselves to eternal removal, exclusion from God's kingdom. We have a four-tape set entitled The Secret Behind the Secret. It's available in tape or CD. We hope many of you will want to get that. And then, of course, we have a four-tape set on Satanism and Deliverance, a four-tape set on Aleister Crowley, a four-tape set on the wisdom of Malachi Martin. All of these things will begin to introduce you to this other dimension. And it's not imaginary. It is real. And you want to avoid it under any and all circumstances. Certainly, we hope that many of you will want to get my talk, Brotherhood of Darkness. It's available in DVD or VHS. And, of course, you'll want to get the book and have that to document what I'm telling you. You want to get the talk, The Forbidden Secret. And, of course, the syllabus that goes with that, which you can, and then we certainly would want to get our talk on the Iraq, the Untold Story. It's the history of all the wars of the last century, and it comes with an excellent syllabus. And that syllabus gives you all sorts of documentation. You'd want to get Hidden Agenda. Goes into how they're poisoning us and our children with water fluoridation. You'd certainly want to get my talk on the financial tsunami, which is about to engulf our nation and destroy the monetary well-being of so many of our people. And that, of course, comes with an excellent syllabus. And if you'd like more information, go to our website at RadioLiberty.com. That's RadioLiberty.com. Or please, of course, give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. If you'd like, of course, to get copies of the tape of this program, or I'd like to learn about getting the other items we mentioned, 1-800-544-8927. And then, Chris, we want you to understand, although we talk a lot about politics, although we talk a lot about history, and we talk a lot about medicine, and we talk a lot about financial matters, we feel this is all really spiritual in its foundation. And if you haven't, of course, read my little pamphlet on the history of money, it goes into the man who really began modern banking practices with interest, a man named Sir Francis Bacon, who was part of this mystical group of the Rosicrucians. If you'd like to know more about them, the two DVDs, The Secret Mysteries of America's Beginnings, and Riddles in Stone. That's The Secret Mystery of America's Beginnings and Riddles in Stone. Please pray for America. Pray for revival. Pray for Radio Liberty, for our provision and our protection. And so until tomorrow at the same time, may the Lord be with you.
You're tuned to the Global Star Radio Network. Thanks for listening.